get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Molly.
I'm Pete.
And we are fully ensconced in Christmas at this point.
We're currently doing the podcast on a table that features a gingerbread doghouse competition loser.
And we had a Christmas party last night, and people added on to the gingerbread house, which I did not appreciate.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I took it all off, though.
What did they add on?
Like, some of the cookies that I had, like, custom made for the party were added on. A snowman made out of falafel balls.
Oh, that's fun.
I know, but I was like, this is my gingerbread house and my food that I, like, worked hard to provide, and you people are acting like children.
Did you scold them?
I gave them looks. I knew who was behind it, too.
It was a fun party.
It was fun. It was a lot of people, which it's fun to have that many people, mm-hmm. and it's fun to, like, be able to know that many people to invite, and yeah. to know people from so many different places, but then it's hard to talk to everybody, and I never talked to that person, mm-hmm. and they came and went, but I mean, I'm happy that I talked to the people that I did talk to, and you just have to do what you can.
Yeah, I remember this happening last year where we had a party and less people came last year, and I remember not talking to very many people, just like answering the door, making sure food is out and beer is cold and coats are put away. And this, I felt the same thing this year. I was like, oh, that was like really fun. I didn't talk to anybody. Or I talked to them and then I had to leave mid-conversation.
I know, like I would be in the middle of saying something to somebody, and then I would see like something happened that I needed to help with, and or like you just randomly walked outside at one point, and I'm like, what's going on? Are the cops here to bust up this crazy party? We did have one, so it was a real random mix of people, and I always like when people get out of their circle and talk, when yeah. I see like yeah. people talking to each other that didn't know each other, and when you have a real random mix of people, that happens when it's not like everybody knows each other from one place or two places. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always appreciate when people branch out, and so people, it was a random mix, and it was a random mix of ages as well. I think so. I mean, if late 20s to late 50s, that's pretty
yeah.
random.
Yeah.
So our friend Rachel, who's in her early 30s, came, and when she walked in, she's like, she told us later, she's like, when she walked in, she was like, oh, I'm at an old person's party. I'm like, what does that mean? There were other people her age and younger there.
We didn't have the you know, the hip hop bumping.
Is that what she's expecting?
I don't know.
Oh, is it not an old person? Because there was like things were like nice, and
was
like
it a compliment? Like, oh yeah, this is there was actually food out instead yeah. of just bags of chips and yeah. things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take it that way.
Yeah, that's probably what she meant.
It was an adult party.
But yeah, so yeah, you'd get in a conversation, and then you get pulled away, and you'd never finish that conversation. And then
I know.
People would just leave, and like you didn't get to say goodbye. So
I think you just have to, I mean, I hope everyone had a good time and didn't leave like annoyed that we didn't get to talk to them. But they're not there just to talk to us. They're there just to be at a party with yeah. other people. So
your friends are really good at conversing with other people, mm-hmm. whereas I am not good at, if I came to a party like this, I would just talk to you.
Yeah.
They're good at mixing, you know, like, hey, how do you know Molly and Pete, or what do yeah. you do, or that's just not,
well, and if you're into running or dogs, there's going to be somebody there yeah. to talk to.
I have a hard time getting, like, you know, like, initiating a conversation.
Our friend Jenny, who's another card designer, just adopted a really cute dog from Lulu's Locker, and when she left, she's like, thank you so much for having me. I learned so much about dogs tonight.
Well, yeah.
And then another, our friend Joshua, who's also from Texas, gave me a big hug when he left and said, your house feels so much like Texas. And I was like, oh, thank you.
And then he showed us his tattoo.
Oh, yeah, his Texas tattoo, which I don't have. But there's a new guy working at Orange Theory who's from a little town near where I grew up. And when we were leaving the studio the other morning, he said, have a good day, y'all. I'm just like smiling now thinking about it. It made me so happy. It was just so like natural.
Yeah,
so a little taste of that.
It was a fun party, and I know that you put tons of work into it, because at some point yesterday you were like, All right, next year it's either a a custom card, a party, or
I bake cookies for you to take to work.
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
I kind of like the custom card.
Yeah.
But now I feel like we've set a precedent for, you know, we like Christmas.
You can just go buy, you'd order some, you could have cookie cuts, make you some cookies, and you put them in bags. And
yeah. Can I do, how about two?
We could take a year off from a party.
I like the party, though.
Well, it's like, I guess it's like running a marathon or having a baby. Like, you forget all how insane it all. I mean, I just feel like I've gone nonstop, like work and Christmas for weeks now. And
yeah, like now as I'm thinking back to the party, I'm like, oh, that was great. I'm so mad that I didn't get to talk to anybody. But then come October, when we talk about having another party, I'm like, I will not remember not talking to anybody. I just remember it being really fun and seeing all of our friends.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was good.
What do you think of my mix?
It was good. I feel like I couldn't really hear. Like, it's just loud. And I wondered if we were, like, the neighbors could hear us. And I went out. I guess I took the dog out at some point, and I went outside, and I couldn't really hear. So, I know. I was kind of, there were, like, a few moments. Where, I mean, because we probably had, I don't know how many, at least 50 people.
Oh, that many?
Yeah.
Really?
And I was a little, like, is this really loud? Are people gonna be annoyed around us? But it wrapped up around like 11:30, so mm-hmm. it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and people weren't outside or anything. It was contained.
Last Friday we went to Butch McGuire's Chris Kindle Market. We did some like fun Christmassy things mm-hmm. in the late afternoon, and we came home. We were home like by 9. I had fallen asleep by 10, and then I remember waking up about an hour later, 11:15 or something, and thinking to myself, oh man, that stinks. Next week at this time, I'm going to have to be up talking to people. But then, yeah, it wrapped up right around 11. I'm like, oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, this adult, is all right. Adult, an old person party. It's the best.
People know when to leave.
So yeah, it's done. And now, I mean, I guess we're both off work, and I guess we can like enjoy Christmas now. But it's hard for me to downshift, because I'm already today thinking like, oh my gosh, I need to wrap presents, I still have a few cards I need this and that, there's still like a couple of things I need to go and get, some errands to run, like it's hard to, I don't know, I can't.
We have another party. We have my friend Jim's annual Festivus party to go to. Uh-huh. Festivus is one of my favorite Christmas episodes of all.
Oh no. You're gonna
I'll slip these in as we move forward.
And then we're going to the It's a Wonderful Life sing-along tomorrow, and
you have to use today to get all these last minute things done. Because Monday, I still want, like, Monday we're off, and I want to
do fun things.
Few Christmas things.
So we're not going to do a home. I've watched all of the Hallmark Signature one from this year, which is the one with Kristen Chenoweth and Scott Wolf. And mm-hmm. those are sappier than the normal ones. And I think in parts I've watched all of that one, and it's like where Scott Wolf's wife died, of course, and he has a son, and his son wants to sing with Kristen Chenoweth's choir, her like Christmas choir, and it's this choir that puts on this like little concert, and it's like her whole life is devoted, like her whole year is devoted to like producing this tiny little concert. And then it turns out that she had given up a son. This is when it's become Signature. Like, she had given up I'm going to spoiler alert. So if you don't want to spoil Christmas Love Song, I think is what it's called. Fast forward or 15 seconds. But so she'd given up a child for adoption at birth, and turns out it's this kid.
Oh,
he had like found her, and then she and Scott Wolf like are, it's like a, they are like falling in love with each other, which is a little weird, right? So they're just gonna be a family now, and I don't know, it's strange.
Scott Wolf in one of my favorite Party of Five Christmas episodes. I don't really remember much about the episode, but I remember at the end of it they played Joni Mitchell's River, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Scott Wolf, I like Scott Wolf. He has like a Michael J. Fox kind of youthfulness where he never ages.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird that he's like this adult and in a relationship with Kristen Chenoweth. Like, he seems like he's 18
so much younger,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was fine.
To be honest, I don't even know how I'm feeling about Hallmark. I know we've talked about this where they, you know, the controversy and they caved and now.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with not even doing Hallmark this year. We can revisit next year.
it's tough because, like we said last week, it's like, why did they just enjoy these? I do enjoy them, and I'm excited. There's last night in the middle, after I was cleaning up for the party, I watched a Christmas, part of a Christmas ornament, which is maybe my one, is one of my favorites. That one, Window Wonderland, Nine Lives of Christmas. Those are some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And so that one is the Christmas ornament is Kelly Martin and Cameron Matheson. It's from 2013. It's when they were a bit more serious and thoughtful, I think. They weren't as goofy as they are now. And so I really enjoy it. And Kelly Martin is going to be in one that's premiering tonight. And so I still like him. I still enjoy him. But I've listened to quite a few of the podcasts I listen to that are like cultural podcasts have discussed this week. And mm-hmm. It's interesting to hearing different perspectives on it. And
what's the consensus?
Well, the consensus is that we're a couple of dummies and those people are smarter than us.
Well, I don't think that needs to be said.
I think the consensus is that 1 million moms, why did they bow down to 1 million right. moms, which is such a small organization? And yeah, and the consensus is also that Hallmark has promised to be more progressive every year and they don't really follow through on it. So yeah, it definitely feels kind of tainted. Mm-hmm. This year, and just how, I mean, even without the controversy, just how redundant the movies and how kind of slapped together the movies were this year. So I think they need to go, they have some thinking to do about yeah. 2020.
And I'm sure they will. I'm sure there's a whole branding.
This is their chance, you know.
A lot of strategy and logistics, and I'm sure they're going to make a bold move.
I doubt it. But. So we're not going to do a Hallmark movie today. Let's squeeze one more in before Christmas.
I don't know how I'm feeling about it.
No? We'll do one more podcast. We'll watch something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well,
maybe we'll
sure
watch something.
A lot of people
like
at the Christmas party were recommending Noelle on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And apparently you can do like a
free trial.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe there are some things I want to watch on Disney Plus, so we'll check it out. Would be a good time to check it out. So we're back with some TV episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete's going to treat us to some Christmas episode recommendations.
No, I'm not. Oh. You put the kibosh on that.
Well, I feel like we already discussed it. You were threatening it. Well, a couple of Christmas episodes and then one live thing that we went to. So we went and saw Deck the Hallmark at Second City mm-hmm. here in Chicago. And, you know, Second City has multiple stages. This was at like Up Comedy Club. It was like like six people in the cast and just a parody of a Christmas show. So we went on, I was done with work on Wednesday. You were almost done with work by that point. We're like, oh, let's go to it. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to start our break. And so I met you down at Second City and we just had like general admission. Well, actually I haven't told you this part, but I wasn't going to say anything cause it makes me look like a dummy, but maybe this is some good pod. So I went to when we decided to go to the Hallmark show, we were at Lost Lake, a tiki mm-hmm. bar here that's very Christmas, that we go to at Christmas. It's very decorated and then they have Christmas themed drinks mm-hmm. and they come in fun glasses. And anyway, we were having a tiki drink, which I don't drink hard liquor mm-mm. very often, and so if I do, I feel like it hits me hard.
Oh, really?
If I do, well, I won't have like more than I'll have like one and a half.
Yeah. I feel we had one,
and we split one. Like, yeah. If I have two, I don't. Yeah, yeah, I feel it the next day, and I don't want to feel like that because I'm an adult. So. Anyway, so we were in, I think, just in the first one, and we bought the tickets, and then I went maybe last week. I went to go check, like, to just make sure I had the tickets in my email and the time or whatever. And I had accidentally bought them for December 4th.
Oh.
Which that was like, we bought them on like December 1st or something like that. It was for like that Wednesday. And I was like, oh no, I'm not allowed to buy anything while I've had like a tiki drink.
That's interesting because we were doing it right at the bar, and I was watching.
Yes.
You picked out the date. We saw
exactly.
It came up December 20th.
Okay, this makes me feel better.
Yeah,
this makes me feel better. I was like, how did this happen? So anyway, so I called the box office. I was just like, I'm just going to call them and see if they feel like they have the Christmas spirit and they'll change them. So I I called him and I'm like, you know, I bought these. We didn't go. I made a mistake. And when I was ordering them, like, I'm like, it really seems strange that this would have happened. Like, can it ever just like revert back to something? And they were like, no, but we still have tickets for the 18th. So I can just switch them to that for you. I was like, oh, thank you so much. So they just switched them. So we go in and when we go in, I show them the tickets and it's just general admission, but they seat you. It's kind of, you know, like it's sort of like cramped. Like you sit at a little table, like a comedy bar. Mm-hmm. You sit at a little table. They were like, oh, take them to the, we're going to upgrade them to the front row. So if you want to sit in the front row, you had to pay like $20 more per ticket. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, we're going to upgrade you to the front row. And we're both like, I don't know why they pegged, you know, they looked us up and down and they were like, we'll upgrade the two of them. So we go and it's just, I mean, you're on the stage. Yeah. It's so close and it's just like awkward and so cramped. And
yeah, you can't use the stage to put your drink and food on.
So you're putting your drink like behind you, sort of.
And there's somebody that's right behind you. So, and I felt really self-conscious about moving my elbow.
Weird. And like, they think they're doing us a favor, but I don't really want this. And so they came, but we're like, oh, whatever. We'll just sit here.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be fun.
I was nervous too, though, because anytime that we're that close, I don't want to be part of things.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So you were nervous that they were going to like engage you. And I guess people pay for the upgrade because they want to be engaged, which that's a bizarre thing to me.
Yeah.
Like who is the kind of person that wants to be engaged? When you go to an improv show, like who wants to be engaged by the actors? And also, who are these people that yell things out to?
Yeah.
And it's always, and the worst thing about an improv show is that the kind of person who wants to yell a suggestion out makes the worst suggestions. Like everything is like tampons.
Yeah.
Poop. Like it's horrible.
That's so true.
Then they came like 5 minutes later, an usher came over. He's like, did you guys pay for these seats? And we're like, no, they just upgraded us. We have general admission. He's like, actually, we miscalculated. We need these. Somebody else had paid for these. We need these seats, but we're going to move you into a booth in the back. You'll have the whole, it's this big booth.
Yeah.
Which I think those seats were more expensive too. Like you'll have this whole booth to yourself. And anyway, so we're like, oh, actually, that's pretty good. That seems more comfortable. Like you're elevated so you can see over the crowd. And so we, you know,
far enough away where there's not a chance where somebody will come up to you and ask for your opinion on things and as part of the production.
So we're sitting there and then the usher comes back and he's got these two guys with him and he's like, do you mind if they sit in with you? We're like, dude, you just moved us and you said we get this whole booth to ourselves. He's like, I know, I'm so sorry. Anyway, they like comped our drinks.
Yeah.
It was fine.
As soon as we sat in that booth and I saw it was packed.
Yeah.
And I like next to us there was a booth and they had fit five people in this booth. I'm like, there's no way they're letting two people take this whole booth. They're gonna bring somebody in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure enough, a minute later I see the two dudes come moping in.
So it was pretty good.
The production?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Did you think it was funny?
Yeah, I thought parts of it were
parts
funny.
Parts of it were.
Yeah.
There were some actors who were in it that were funny.
Yeah. It was okay.
Yeah. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah. I mean, go. If you like Hallmark movies, I think there's enough in it where you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was, like, in the beginning, I had just problems with the production in that one of the people in the cast didn't have their microphone working, so you couldn't hear them. It's just kind of sloppy in the beginning. And the main actor, we got the understudy who you
didn't
like. Yeah,
so there were two big things wrong with it. And one is that, like, when you look at the poster of it, the guy who normally plays the Christmas hunk, the guy in the small town that she falls in love with, he looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're parodying a Hallmark movie, you are trying to replicate the look and the feel of it, but do something funny, kind of mock it a bit. You still need to make it effective, you still need to make it look like a Hallmark, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So when you look at the guy in the poster, he looks perfect. The guys kind of look alike in Hallmark movies, for the most part. This guy looked like a Hallmark guy.
Yep.
We got the understudy who did not look like a Hallmark guy.
Not hunky
at
all.
He was just creepy.
Yeah, he was creepy looking.
And so it like really took me out of it that he didn't look... I'm not saying he was unattractive or attractive. Hallmark guys are just like a certain mold.
Yeah.
And this guy was not that mold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you couldn't find anybody else who... You're casting this. Like, cast the person that is appropriate for the
Even the understudy role. Should look like the main guy.
Or if they, like, so he was bald, which, again, whatever, fine. Just not, no Hallmark hunk is going to be bald. Put a wig on him.
Yeah.
He had, like, a big beard. Like, mm-hmm. that's, just shave and put a wig on for this role. And he would have been, because he was fine as an actor. I think that would, he wasn't very charismatic.
No, and it wasn't.
Or likable.
It wasn't the right beard. Plus, like, he shaved into his face.
Be like, he kind of had a Voldemort feel to him. He kind of looked like he would play like a creepy guy in a nightclub in something or whatever.
Yeah, he looked definitely more like the villain than the small town hunk.
So that was an odd choice. And then the other thing is that they didn't do, even though they did get some things right, but, you know, like in Hallmark movies, they always drink cocoa. They always make cookies or a wreath or something like that. Like, there was none of that. There was a lot of business with, like, there was a lot of songs, and that, like, anytime I sang a song, I was like, can we get through this? And I guess maybe that's an improv thing, that they were, like, making up the song, sort of, but.
Yeah, they were.
I thought that was boring.
Yeah, because, you know, throughout the show, they would come out for suggestions and then build a song out of that suggestion. So that you know, that takes a special talent, and I thought they handled most of that stuff pretty well.
Yeah. The funniest thing was that they were talking to, like, a couple in the audience, and they asked him what he did for a living, and he said he did trading or something, and they were like, what are you trading? It was equities. It was just so, it was really funny.
It's perfect for a Hallmark thing. A general business that you're not really sure of.
Yeah. So then making fun of him for having that boring white guy job
I thought they handled most of that improv stuff, which, I mean, I know it's an improv show, but I don't really care about what people suggest. Because, like you said, most people are recommending dumb things.
So we're burying the lead. So they spent a lot of time dealing with, talking to, engaging with, bringing them up on stage, the two people that sat in our seats.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, can you imagine if we had to do that?
They pay for this experience?
No, you just pay for the front row so that maybe you get, like, you talk to them.
Do you think they picked that seat, or do you think they picked that person? Like, if we were
there...
Did
they see us and they were like, oh, these people are going to sit in the hot seat. They would be... These people look like they'd be game for it.
But since...
This girl with a frown on her face carrying a Fleet Feet bag looks like she's a lot of fun.
They picked the person. So if we were in there with our frowns on, they may have not picked us. They may have picked somebody else in the front row. But yeah, it was funny that our former seats were the seats chosen as the one to interact, and oh boy,
it's
one of those things where I just get like a knot in my stomach when you have to interact with a cast on stage. I just don't like it.
Of the six people, two people were by far the best of the cast, and so when they got their standing ovation, like, there was tepid applause for the other four people, and then those two got like a roaring applause.
Yeah,
so that's a little weird,
but deservedly so.
They were like the only funny part of it, really. So
when you go to the theater, everybody just gives a standing ovation. And I'm from the school of you only give a standing ovation to
if it's earned.
So we've been at shows where half the audience is standing. Yeah. It's like you're at the State of the Union or something where only half the audience
is clapping. The Republicans are standing and the Democrats are sitting down.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would, if you like Hallmark movies, it's funny enough.
Yeah.
The experience is mostly enjoyable. I thought the set was nice. They did a really good job of like changing the scenery around it.
They'd showed old commercials during the breaks or during like the intermission.
And I guess,
which was funny.
Another criticism would be that get it over in 75 minutes. We didn't need the... I know they're trying to sell French fries and beer and stuff, but it could have been done in 75 minutes and gone instead of the 20-minute intermission. There was no huge costume changes or big set design change. They didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, odds are you'll get the main cast, which might be more enjoyable.
There was a couple was getting into a fight in front of us when we left. Like this okay, he had somebody who looks like he trades equities. This like older, wealthy looking couple who looked like they came from like North Shore kind of couple. And
yeah, she had a face on her.
Yeah.
a lot of work on her face.
A lot of work and a lot of makeup, and he was just kind of a Bluto guy. Yeah. And yeah, there's some kind of fight going on, and
really tense.
He was really. She was very meek, and he was very domineering, and really like putting a lot of emotional abuse on her.
Yeah. I can't remember what he said. Do you remember?
You just escalated this.
Yeah, you escalated this.
He's like, I can't believe. Like, she's like, what did I do? And yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable.
Whoa. Yeah.
Hope it worked out for them.
I'm sure they're having a wonderful Christmas. They're putting a smile on having a wonderful Christmas.
And I think the Second City thing is playing through the new year.
So I think they said January 5th.
Yeah, so you'll have time to go.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about how they were doing a live episode, how ABC was doing a live episode of All in the Family, and if we thought it was going to be the Draft Dodger or not, one of Pete's favorite Christmas episodes. And they did. They did it. And so we watched that. And it's Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei, Ike Barinholtz, Jesse Eisenberg, Ellie Kemper, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. So, yeah, Woody and Marissa were Edith and Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Ike Barinholtz was Meathead.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie was Gloria. Kevin Bacon was Pinky Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Eisenberg was the draft.
David
Brewster,
yeah, something like
he
that,
was
yeah.
the draft dodger. It was well, it was very well
he was
cast.
Jesse Eisenberg looked perfect.
You had talked about it last week, and I had kind of forgotten about it, and then Phil Rosenthal from the Tribune tweeted that he hopes that they do the draft dodger in Tyler in Oklahoma. One of our listeners CC'd me, like, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta check to see it. And when I watched it, I was like so happy that it was the draft dodger.
Well, so I come across something that said it was going to be on. I was like, oh, I need to set the DVR to record this. And so we're already old people because we still have like cable and DVR, but in addition to streaming options, but I forgot to. And so then we had to watch it on like on demand, and you have to like watch the commercials and you can't fast forward. And I'm just like, what year is this that they're forcing us?
I watched it the day after it aired, and so I had to watch or had to fast forward. I fast forward through Good Times because that was the first.
It let you fast forward
through the episode, but not through the commercials. So you can fast forward through the episode.
You didn't want to watch Good Times?
I wasn't really a fan of Good Times. I mean, I don't have any like fond recollections.
It looked like there were really good people and good actors in that too.
So yeah, so I'd had to like sit through the commercials, fast forward when it started. One of the funnier parts I thought was the in between the Good Times and the All in the Family. Martin Short comes out. I love Martin Short. He makes me laugh.
No, he's funny.
And he's such a good, you know, he's just like all about.
I saw him in a show on Broadway a long time ago, and it was, he was amazing.
Yeah. He came out and started singing the Facts of Life theme, which was, you take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah,
and
it's hilarious.
It was, you know, while he was singing, they turned it into a Christmas ornament. I don't know. It was just really well done.
That was good. Yeah,
and Jimmy Kimmel, who's been, he was hosting this.
I think he produces
this special. He comes out and says, what are you doing? And we're showing All in the Family next.
Jimmy Kimmel's daughter is an artist, a very in-demand artist, and she has a show right now in Chicago at Festive Collective. She's part of like a collective group of artists, and at the Store Festive Collective in Logan Square, she's part of a show there this weekend. I'm like, oh, we have to fit one more thing in.
We can do it. The updated draft dodger I thought was great.
They did a great job. It was very, whatever. They really captured the look and the feeling of it. And
if you haven't seen the All in the Family episode, I would recommend watching it because I think that Carol O'Connor as Archie is great, and Edith is it's a great
episode. I would say that like Woody Harrelson gives it his best go, but it's hard to when you don't have that big kind of bulbous head. And
and Marissa Tomei,
she was great.
Awesome.
She was the best.
She like nailed all her like Edith's walking back and forth to the kitchen and to the door. She really
her, like nervousness.
She was great.
Ike Barinholtz was great. Jesse Eisenberg.
But you don't really like the episode.
I like the sentiment of it, but I don't have any All in the Family nostalgia. I think that Santa thing is way creepy, and I don't think it's fun to watch people be bigots. I don't think it's funny, even when you're like looking at it at, you know, how it relates to us now and at the time. I don't enjoy that.
I don't have any nostalgia for All in the Family either. It's just one of those things where I at some point in my life, I was looking, as an adult, I was looking for Christmas episodes to watch, and I came across it, and I don't know, it struck me as being good. And even watching the remake, I was kind of welling up when Pinky Peterson makes his speech about, you know, his son dying in Vietnam and the draft dodger being at the table. And
I think they did a really good job with it. I think the other thing about that episode is, like, it's really brown. Like, the house is really, like, brown and depressing.
Yeah, all the clothes are brown, kind of, except Edith's red dress.
Yeah. I do kind of... The clothes, actually, I sort of like. And, like, Jesse Eisenberg's glasses were perfect. The hair, the wigs, or their own hair was great. And, no, I think they did a great job. There's just something depressing. I want Christmas stuff to be light and fun.
You want it to be about a stance against the Vietnam War?
I don't know.
It's like, but that's true. Like, I never got into any of the MASH Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, for some reason, this one resonates with me, but whereas anything revolving around MASH, I'm not into the war / Christmas crossover.
Our friend Dave was saying how excited he was to watch the Guy Pearce Christmas Carol that came on this week, and I know it's super dark. And he told me, he's like, I don't think you'll like it.
He knows your triggers.
So it's
on demand, the Draft Dodger, the live from a studio audience. It's worth it.
Yeah, and I think if you haven't watched the first, you need to watch both of them, because it's just how well they, what a good job they did of recreating it. And, like, Norman Lear was there, and he's just adorable. Like, I just want to pinch his cheeks. He's adorable. And
he's like 90 something, and he's just so quick
and sharp and with it. And they did a good job.
Yeah.
So let's get into what I really like. The Christmas miracle that befell us this week. A surprise Christmas episode of Very Cavallari. Very Merry Cavallari.
We watched.
I don't need any commentaries on the Vietnam War, or the state of bigotry in America. Just give me some Jay Cutler.
We watched like 2 minutes of it, and you were. This is already way funnier than Draft Dodger.
It is so much funnier than Draft Dodger. Unintentionally, like, they are trying to be funny. This is unintentionally funny. Do you see how much, like, happier I am talking about this?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, for our first two recommendations, we're like, if you're in the neighborhood, try it.
Yeah, it's like the check, please.
This one, no, go now. Whatever cost, watch the episode. Even if you can't fast forward through it. Even if you need to pay for it, find it.
We fast forward through it.
Yeah, but maybe if you're watching it in some other way, you have to watch ads or something.
Oh, yeah. But
if
we fast forward
to Hulu, you might have to watch ads or something.
We fast forward to the episode where Jay's not on the screen.
But there was, we watched most of it because he's on most of it. So the way, if you don't know, we are Very Cavallari fans, and it's for the Jay and Kristen parts. And the business part, her, like, friends and the people she pays to be her friends, we in the Uncommon James business, we're not interested in. We just fast forward through this. So there's always, like, drama with these girls, and it seems like it's always different girls, but they always look the same too. And then she has these friends that I also can't tell the difference between any of them. They, like, do her hair, or they're her, like, her friends from Chicago who look like they're from Chicago. Just read between the lines on that one. And that's what I don't care about. I'm here for Jay walking into the room with a frown on, with an expression on his face, a sour expression on his face, holding a cup of something.
Yeah, he's always
holding
drinking.
A cup with a Carhartt hat on that's, like, to the side a little bit, unshaven, no shoes on, one, his, like, sweatpants on with one leg pulled up.
Yeah, like he's a bicycler, a cyclist.
He would call it a bicycler. She makes a reference in there to their ice skating, and he's so awkward. He's just such a doofus.
I'm so surprised. I mean, he's an NFL football player. I think
you're
an athlete. You should be able to skate.
The things you need to know are that we like Very Cavallari, and Pete is a Jay Cutler apologist. So I really have no opinion on Jay Cutler, other than all I did was hear people complain about him, and he's got a doofy look on his face all the time. But sports wise, I just know that he was a disappointment.
Yeah, right? Like, he was very much so.
But Pete still thinks he's was a great athlete. So anyway, Kristen says that she's surprised that Jay wanted to go ice skating because he doesn't like to do anything he's not good at, which I found to be a funny joke because he wasn't good at playing football.
No, he was not very good at all. If you don't know, Jay Cutler was from, he grew up in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Yeah. So he is the Christmas hunk.
So he's into Christmas.
Yeah. He's from a Hallmark movie town.
It's very similar to our relationship in that Jay likes to decorate his way and Kristen likes to decorate her way, and there's a little bit of friction.
Yeah,
maybe not friction's the right word, but you know, she wants
it
things
very close to home.
She wants things kind of neat.
She wants things like white, clean, neat. He wants them like colorful, cheap, tacky, over the top. She wants them tasteful. He wants them ridiculous, like, super extra.
Like, I have a bunch of decorations that I've had most of my life, and I used to always put them out, and now they're down in the basement somewhere. And I don't even, I mean, they don't even hold that sentimental of a value to me. I just, I had them, and I put them out.
Yeah.
And then at some point, they just went away.
That's not totally true.
Like, you would
partially replace them.
You would replace them with, but I wouldn't even really notice that.
Well,
they were
now
missing.
We have a lot of decorations that are ours together.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But like when we were bringing up all the decorations, I was like, oh yeah, this Santa on the sleigh, and
but it's
like, that goes downstairs.
It was that's because it was broken, and I've tried to, there's some things that have broken, and I have things that are broken too, and I've tried to fix them, and it just like the sled portion,
yeah,
just
blade,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, I've yeah, when it was hitting close to home, we haven't watched Marriage Story yet, but I'm looking forward to watching it. But I've also heard people say that it makes, like, if you watch it like with your partner, it's like uncomfortable to watch, and I've been sort of like
we can watch it separately.
Hesitant to watch Marriage Story because of that. But then when I was watching this, I was like, oh yeah, this is totally us, and I'm this isn't uncomfortable at all, them like having these disagreements about this is
lights.
This is our version of Marriage Story.
I'll put something out, and there's just always a question about it. Like, do we need that? And like, no, we don't. I've just put it out for 10 years.
We put your ornaments on the back of the tree.
Yeah, all my ornaments. I have
this
like 100 Cubs and Bears ornaments.
This is all an exaggeration. This is not 100% true.
And they're bad ornaments. They don't deserve to be on the tree, or they deserve to be on the back of the tree. I get it. Or I'll take one Cubs.
Here's the
ornament.
Difference. I've had crummy things along the years, and I've just gotten rid of them.
Yeah.
And upgrade, now I have a nicer version of it. Or if I don't love something, I don't keep it. So this is the real heart of it.
And I know we were preparing for the party, we were, you know, getting our house like Christmas ready, and so I remember cleaning my office, our office upstairs. Mm-hmm. That's where I hang my pants over the chair.
Your pants room. Your shoes room and your pants room.
It's not an office at all, it's just where I hang my jeans or drape my jeans over the chair. So for some reason in the podcasting bag, the bag of equipment, I had a softball.
Of course.
16-inch softball, a clincher.
I'm from Chicago. I just carry a softball with me.
And so when I was cleaning up the office, I was like, oh, like, I should put this softball on display. I don't know why.
That was on display?
Yeah.
It looked like you just set it there.
I put it on a bookshelf, like in between two Christmas ornaments that you hide, that you relegate to the office, because nobody's going to go up there. Yeah, I like set it in between the two Christmas things as like, oh, they must play, they must like 16 inches. If anybody wandered
in. Snowman.
Anybody wandered in there, they'd say, oh, this must be a 16-inch softball house.
And no, it looked like you just said it there.
You just grabbed it and threw it in.
No,
the
it's been bothering me for days. And then we were standing in that room talking, and I couldn't stop looking at it. I was like, what is this doing here?
So it's no longer there. And I don't care. It wasn't like, she never lets me put my stuff out.
So Jay wants to like put his stuff out. She doesn't want to. So she'll give him like one to put out, and then she like later takes it away.
Yeah.
He's going to decorate the outside of the house. So the whole episode, you're waiting for the big reveal of it being like totally over the top. And
yeah, because he even says he wants to Griswold it up.
Yeah. And she's planning the events that happen are that she has some friends come into town. They have a little party at their house, and then she's doing like a holiday photo shoot for Uncommon James, and then she's planning with the party planner. It's pretty funny. Hugh, the party planner, and then a couple of the girls that are into squingish football.
What word? What are you saying?
Indistinguishable? Yeah.
Or indecipherable? You can't tell them apart.
Yeah. So she's planning a party with two of her girls. Yeah. And so there's going to be a big party at the end. And Jennifer Nettles from Sugartown is going to perform.
Sugarland.
Oh, Sugarland. Whatever. And then they also, the new thing is that you can buy her hair, like color root touch up thing with her colorist, who's prominently featured in this episode. You can buy it, like scan the QR code yeah. from your TV. And
you were interested.
It. I know, because I have blonde highlights, and it was like to touch up your highlights in between. I was like, this is something I actually could use. So that's the premise of this episode. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of Jay wearing Christmas sweaters yeah. with his face and his coffee and doing various things. And he has his little sidekick, Chewy, and they're going to decorate the outside, and you don't know what's going to happen. And so Chewy says to Jay, Kristen's letting you decorate the outside? And he's like, well, she's going to tell us what to do, and we're going to, like, nod our heads and pretend to listen, and then yeah. we're just going to do whatever we want to do. And he's like, she doesn't want to, you know, like, control this. Obviously, he's like, well, she has a job, and I don't. So I have the time to do it. And the energy of this show is that Kristen is going 90 miles an hour all the time and really intense and really driven. And Jay is very languid. Mm-hmm. It's just the two of them like, I got to do this. I got to do that. She's always like, she's always at a 10 and Jay's always at a 2.
Yeah.
And she's tiny and he's huge. It's just a magical show.
Yeah, you could not contain your excitement. You just kept talking about how great this was, and after the draft dodger bumming you out.
Do you think that like the smart cultural podcasts that I listen to are going to be discussing Very Mary Kepler? Actually, I listen to some that might. But anyway, so they have the party, and there's like 10 people.
Yeah, it was kind of small.
Everything felt like it was faked. I'm sure it was. I'm sure they filmed this in like July or something. Like things felt very, like the photo shoot felt fake or whatever. It's just like, okay, we're going to make a Christmas episode, so let's decorate our house for Christmas. Whatever. It felt faked out.
It was getting to be where it was like a Hallmark movie where, oh my God, they haven't showed the outside of the house and there's only 2 minutes left in the episode. How are they going to show it? Are they going to show how the outside of the house looks? I was getting nervous they weren't going to pay it off.
They're being driven up to their house because they live out in the country, and they're driving up and he's like, I have a surprise for you. And she's like, oh, and they pull up and it's decorated and it's beautiful. It's perfect. Yeah. It looks like a magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very tasteful. White lights, some wreaths, some
very
bows.
Disappointed.
Very professionally. Jay had nothing to do with this. Jay Chewy didn't pull this off.
You don't think, I saw him putting up a wreath on the window
done.
In ribbons. You don't think they were tying those ribbons?
We're talking about this like any of this is real. This is real. This is a sick. This is like a sitcom. They're going to, next year, Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei are going to play them on ABC. So Kristen goes in to go to bed, and Jay's like, I'm going to turn this stuff off. And what? He flips a switch and everything goes crazy.
Yeah, all the colored lights and all
that. Is this a thing? Can you have both somehow? How did they do this?
I don't know. But yeah, because he was very into the blow-ups.
So he hit the switch and all the lights changed from white to color. And the blow-ups started to inflate. And there was like a tractor and a big Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
a bunch of big
of
blow-ups.
Reindeer,
and,
I think.
Yeah. So then it did become crazy and Griswoldy.
Yeah, and then he just like nods and walks in the house.
It was great.
Hey, I don't know. Is that real?
I don't know, but I said we were going to force our family to watch it on Christmas Eve.
We get to watch that and The West Wing.
Oh, no. There's also, let me talk some more about Jay Cutler. There's also a point where he dresses up like Santa, and he has like the worst posture. He kind of like...
Well, he's a mope. Yeah,
he's a mope, yeah. He like rolls, he pushes his stomach out and like rolls his shoulders.
He's always frowny.
His like bottom lip
like a puss,
sticking out.
But he should win an Emmy for this show because you just can't keep your eyes off of him.
What award would that be?
Emmy Award for...
But do they have, like, for stars of reality show, do they have for awards?
I don't know. Well, they should create a category for Jay Cutler. He is so good in it.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're saying this. It's embarrassing. Can we just keep this one to ourselves? How long did I just talk about that?
So, go see the Deck the Hallmark.
If you're in the neighborhood.
Go watch The Draft Dodger, the new and update, or the updated and watch old it. One. But definitely...
Mm-hmm.
Molly says, you must watch the Very Merry Cavalieri. While Pete says, it's good for Jay Cutler. All right, so then we'll do one more. We'll watch a bunch of stuff, and we'll talk about that stuff.
We've got to get caught up on non-Christmas TV and movies.
But we can talk about that stuff after the holidays.
Yeah.
We have to watch The Very Brady Christmas.
I know. We haven't watched Elf.
Some of our classics that we haven't even watched.
We've watched Home Alone. We've watched White Christmas. We've watched Christmas Vacation.
We've watched The Office Christmas Party episode.
Oh, yeah. You haven't talked about your Christmas episodes.
That's one. The Office Christmas, the first one with Todd
Packer. Is this going to be like Jay Cutler where you secretly go and record another like 15 minutes just about Christmas episodes and you tack it on to the end of
this? No, I
won't
do that. All right, so we'll talk to you in a few days probably.
All right. Merry Christmas. Mom got drunk and Dad got drunk at our Christmas party. We were drinking champagne punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought a new boyfriend. From the family.